Hi, this is Neil Funk, and you're listening to Frank on the Chicago Bullseye.
Hello, this is Nick Friedel, and you're listening to Frank on the Chicago Bullseye. Hi, this is Chuck Swirsky, and you're listening to Frank on the Chicago Bullseye.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome to another exciting edition of the Chicago Bullseye. We have the great Keith Frantz at Bull Scripted on the line. How you doing, brother?
Just living on the edge, man. Nothing like a double overtime to keep you on your toes.
Oh, isn't the sun brighter today with that victory? Oh, my God, how great was that? I understand it was horrible basketball, no denying that. It was ugly at times. But still, for this team, sans four rotation players, two starters, maybe even three if Valentine finally gets that coveted number three small forward role. For them to come out and play and win on the road against the New York Knicks, it always brings joy to my heart. What say you?
Knicks fans, or even the fans that last year when we were tanking, I didn't want to lose the game because just dealing with Knicks fans, they're kind of like Lakers fans. It's just really annoying. I'd rather pick a spot or two further back and beat the Knicks and the Lakers every time we play them. So it felt good. Obviously, like you said, it was a very rough game. It was very ugly basketball. But because of that, Zach LaVine had about five opportunities, if not more, to get his closing jitters out of the way. And I think that experience will be beneficial going forward.
Yeah, I thought Zach, regardless, he had eight turnovers. I understand everybody's kind of on him for that, and everybody's. It's amazing how Bulls fans, some Bulls fans, just feel the need to justify their original mistaken premise about Zach LaVine and look for every fault in this game. I mean, gosh, he's outplayed his contract already. I mean, this is a bargain deal if he keeps this up, and I don't care how bad he is defensively. If you're putting up numbers like this.
And he had three steals and two blocks last night. So even if the all-around effort isn't there, he is proving that one-on-one, and situationally at least, he can still be at least productive on that end.
Yeah, it's just not accurate, too, to believe that any player can give 100% on both ends of the court all the time.
If you watch him, you can see his breathing. Getting to the hole the way that he drives is not something that is – you know, energy conserving.
No, exactly. And I love that. It's my favorite part about this year has been, you know, he was not playing well last year. And you were one of his biggest defenders, to your credit. You really pointed out that, hey, it's unfair to judge a player on a limited time coming back from that injury. I agreed 100%. I was a little bit more in the middle on the signing just because, you know, I did have concerns that he wasn't going to at least approach where he was before, but he's surpassed where I expected him to be. He surpassed how good he played in Minnesota. So, I mean, if you really step back and you look at this, Keith, before the preseason start, you know, when Markkanen got hurt in preseason, we didn't know that LaVine was going to be this good. We didn't know that Wendell Carter Jr. was going to be this good. So how can we feel anything but joy with the realization when these guys come back, this team's going to be a lot better than expected?
I am extremely excited about the direction of the team. It is year two. I think similar to the Bears, people have their expectations a little bit too high. And just accepting the reality of the situation that it is year two. And if anything, the Bulls are too good too fast. And that may be their biggest problem opposed to the opposite. So I think fans need to be excited. We got to see Dunn, Lowry, Valentine, and Portis all on the bench hyping their guys throughout the game last night. I think this core has a good connection together as well, and that's going to be important going forward. They're struggling right now, but they're getting closer, and adversity is bringing this team closer together.
And I'm of the mind that I do believe that this team could be a title contender even if you don't tank it this year and you don't find the three in the draft. I feel that Hutch has showed enough to me to say, this guy can be a starter within 2 years, and not only can be a starter, he can be a really good one who will fit in well with the team as defense first. I don't need to shoot it every time. You know what I mean? I think those are the kind of guys you need, and Hutch, I think, can easily step in at the three and be that guy. What say you?
Earlier in the season, I kind of mentioned I had somebody coming at me about Chris Dunn and how his age and how his style of play isn't blah, 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 conducive to the current NBA. And I tried explaining to this person that balance is the most important thing. If you're too heavy one way or too heavy the other way, you're going to have problems. Having a point guard like Dunn and then a offensive weapon like Zach LaVine, coupled with a complementary wing player like Chandler Hutchison, and then another offensive weapon in Lauri Markkanen, and Wendell Carter Jr., and Dunn being the bookends of just the do-it-all versatile players, you have balance there. That's what you're looking for, and I think that's what is going to be needed going forward in this league, that you're not allowed to play that much defense. If you have the perfect combination of scoring and stoppability, you're moving in the right direction.
I agree 100%. I want to run through a quick exercise with you, and I just like a yes or no answer from you on whether or not, and you can feel free to add a little color to your answer if you want, on whether or not the Bulls will be better next year than the teams I mentioned. Okay, so we'll start out with the Raptors, and let's assume that I'd like your take on yes or no if Kawhi leaves or goes. So obviously if he stays or goes. So let's say he stays, I think we both would concur Raptors are still probably better than the Bulls next year?
Yes.
If he goes?
Ew. Their core is very good. I will say, yes, they'll still be better than the Bulls.
Okay, interesting. All right. Well, the Bucks.
Yes, just because Giannis is a different animal.
We got two, the Pacers.
That, I think, will be fairly equal, so I'll even go no there.
I agree. I think the Bulls will be better than the Pacers. The Celtics?
Celtics will still be better.
76ers?
That one's tough, again, because Embiid and Simmons are kind of old-school players, and they haven't built around them properly. So depending on their offseason, that's another one that could be in the middle for me.
Okay. All right, so Hornets?
Yeah, Bulls will be better.
Heat.
Bulls will be better.
Pistons.
Bulls will be better.
I agree. Sorry, I'm not even going to go waste our time and go through the rest. What I've just tried to point out is the Bulls are already going to be next year in the top third of the Eastern Conference, without a doubt. And I think in 2 or 3 years, I think, you know, depending on how good Wendell Carter Jr. gets, he's 19 now, showing so many signs, and he's been so impressive. I'd like to get your take on him. Do you feel, I mean, do you concur then or agree with me that this team is already going to be in the top third by next year and then a clear contender for the East maybe in 2 or 3 years?
I think with their cap flexibility going into next offseason that they can throw out some more one-year contracts or one-plus-one contracts to veterans who are going to help accelerate this rebuild even further. And I think that does put them in the heart of the playoffs in the East next year. And after you do that, then you go into the free agencies where you have AD and possibly Giannis coming out. And if you can show enough in those, you know, that short window that we're going to have after this season, you never know who could decide to come, because the big draw for free agents is controlled contracts, which are rookie contracts that the Bulls have that are going to be team-friendly for the next few years, and obviously money and the ability to compete. So I think that the Bulls' blueprint and plan moving forward is laid out pretty damn perfect.
I think already, I know you might not agree, but I think the Bulls are already in playoff position this year. They're 2 games out of the 7th seed, believe it or not. The 7th seed right now is occupied by the 4 and 5 Heat. And anyone who disagreed with my summer arguments that the Bulls were a playoff team, I don't know how you could still stand by that. If we were healthy, there's no way that we'd be out of the 7th. We'd be right there competing with the 7th or 8th spot. I think that's a logical argument. But I guess depending on how quickly these guys come back, let's just go through our next 10 games.
Pelicans are first. I don't think we take that one as long as... No, we're at New Orleans. There.
Yeah, so they're losing a little bit all of a sudden now. They're under 500, but I agree.
Yeah, and we're going to walk
a better team, no
doubt. The door, and they're going to use this as a tune-up game.
You understand?
Then we have the Cavs at home. That one should be a win. They're a disaster right now, although they're finally finding some stability. They got their coach locked down at least.
Amen. Cleveland.
Then we have Dallas coming in. We've already played them. We played a solid game. I think that could be a 50-50 game.
I think we win that, but we'll go on.
Then we're at Boston. Loss. That one's probably a loss. And then we're at Milwaukee.
Loss.
Versus the Raptors at home.
Loss.
Versus the Suns at home. That should be a win.
Amen.
Versus the Heat. That's a very winnable game.
Amen. I agree.
At the Timberwolves. That's I think a that's a winnable game, especially because exactly. Jimmy Butler could be out of there.
Exactly. It's 5-5 in the next 10. I'm assuming they're going to lose to the Spurs, right? There's Cleveland, Dallas, Phoenix, Miami, Minnesota. And, you know, beating Toronto is going to be a tough ask. Or any of the, the Pelicans, I think, is a game you could maybe steal. But I think they could win. I think they could be 5-5 in the next 10. That would put us at 8 wins, right? Going into 8-13. And by that time, I'm hoping these guys will be ready to come back. And if they can go 500. What's that?
No, you finish up.
Yeah, if they can go 500 from that point forward, if they can get to 8 wins and go 500 from that point forward, you know, so right around 38 wins. I think 38 wins gets you in the East this year. What say you? I know we talked about this last week, but now that
I think you're still being just a little bit overly optimistic.
Yeah.
I think the Bulls probably go 3-7 in the next 10. That's being conservative. 5-5 is not out of the realm of possibility. I'm not calling you crazy here because I can see that there is a couple games in there I could see going 50-50 and at least two or three that should be definite wins. A lot of it rides on what the Bulls do until they get healthy. But then you also got to realize re-implementing those healthy players, though they are an upgrade from what we're playing with currently, we still don't have a chemistry. That's going to take time to adjust. And if they're coming back one by one, that's adjusting chemistry 4 times. So I think the road might be a little rockier than you think it is. But yes, on paper, you don't sound full-blown crazy.
Good to hear. It's always good to hear I'm not nuts. And back to what you were saying before, the argument you were making about some of those free agents, and I kind of agree with you on this, like, you know, maybe not those top guys, but kind of reliving 2010 again, bringing in a lot of quality free agents that around the core that really made the team exponentially better. Do you have any guys in mind that you looked at and said, wow, that's a guy I'd like to see added to the team. I think it can make it considerably better. A guy like I love is Patrick Beverley as a backup point guard, a tough-as-nails guy who plays really good defense. I mean, I know he's 30 years old. I'm not even sure if he's even eligible as a free agent. But a player of that ilk, kind of a vet like that, added to this team, I think would make it considerably better. Do you have anybody in mind that you really like that's out there that's going to potentially be a free agent or maybe even via trade that you would say, man, that guy in this team would be such a help?
I like the Pat Beverley suggestion. I do think that they need to look more veteran short-term deals, you know, where they can overpay a little bit to get the one-year contract and keep their flexibility open moving forward. I'm actually trying to pull up Beverley's contract right now so I can see if he will be a free agent. And he will. He will be a free agent in the offseason. So that is a point guard that the Bulls could look at. Obviously, you have Rose. Rondo should be available again. We know the Bulls' young core really liked Rondo. Obviously, him and Fred had their standoff. But there are some solid veteran options that you could sign to one-year deals. Crazy as it sounds, Joakim Noah as our backup center on a team-friendly deal if he wanted to come home. I think his mentality at least fits what the team wants, even if his production will never be what we remember Joe as, but just having his presence there could be beneficial. So there's a couple veteran moves in the offseason I could see them making.
Yeah, it's interesting you said Noah. I mean, out of the two guys, Rose or Noah, I'd much prefer Rose because I think he has far more basketball left in him. You know, it's obvious after scoring 50 last week. It's just that Noah, his game doesn't translate anymore. You know, just not having any threat on the perimeter. Really, is he that much different? What's he going to bring outside of leadership more than Felicio would?
True. So I guess he might be better off for a Kendrick Perkins, I wear a suit all the time role at this point.
Yeah, sure.
But
I love it.
I see what you're saying there. As we're seeing with Rolo, even though a couple of his blocks last night were pretty crucial, he's a dinosaur in the league, so I get where you're coming from.
Yeah, exactly. It hurts me because I love Lopez. I love Noah. But I thought Noah's last 2 years with us were just a disaster, and I don't think it was really talked about enough. I mean, obviously, his last season with us was cut short, but up until that time, that year, I think he played 27, 28 games off the top of my head. I can't recall the exact number, but he was a total disaster that season. And I was shocked at the contract he got from the Knicks. And obviously, in retrospect, that was a major mistake by the organization. I guess bringing him in at a minimum deal when it, you know, just for public relations wise, would be probably pretty cool.
He's got to finish in a Bulls jersey at some point, whether it's a 10-day or a 1 year cheap veteran minimum, just to have his leadership around.
Absolutely.
He's coming back at some point.
Absolutely. And just seeing him in the stadium and the reaction from the crowd was.
That was the
awesome.
Best moment of that game.
Golden State, yeah, that was a Golden State game, I believe. That's when that happened, and I agree 100%. That was my birthday, and my gosh, that was fantastic, absolutely fantastic. Hey, I want to get a little bit in your thoughts on advanced analytics, because I've been, you know, getting hammered on Twitter. Obviously, you and I don't see eye to eye on Parker. I thought against the Knicks, I thought he played really well. I thought he had a good game, and you know, he shows flashes defensively where he's adequate. And no doubt there are embarrassing moments that I know I'm alone on Jabari Island, you know, and there's no one here with me at all. Occasionally I see a boat in the distance when someone says something nice about him, but that boat always leaves me alone.
Ship you a basket with some bread in there to keep you alive.
Exactly. They'll throw a loaf of bread or granola bread on the shore and then head away. So I'm alone here, but what was the whole point of this? Oh, yeah, advanced analytics. And then, you know, I get the joke, quote-unquote advanced analytic, that Jabari is the worst player by far in the whole team. And I had the tweet of the year saying that somebody pointed it out, and I said, not only you and Felicio's parents believe it. Anyhow, I digress. I'd like to get your thought on advanced analytics and how you use them. And then do you agree with me that, you know, you kind of need to have a combination of things when using those stats?
I feel somebody who's actually watching the game can put their eye test to the numbers and kind of find either a middle ground or completely agree with what the stat is telling them. Jabari Parker is counterproductive. There is no denying that. If he is not scoring and he doesn't have the basketball, he is generally counterproductive. But to say he is the worst player on this team is insane. His elite scoring ability is still elite. I don't care what anybody wants to say. He can score the ball. Whether it's taking away from the team at the time or not is the problem for me with Jabari. So I think when you look at a chart like that, you have to use some logic. He is still probably averaging double-digit points. He's shooting
14, yep.
Probably over 45%, I believe. So more productive to that point where you can put him below Felicio, and I don't care what any advanced analytics tells you.
So, like, to that point, where do you feel like he needs to be to be a contributor scoring-wise? And I agree to a certain extent with you that, hey, he's not a world-beater defensively. I mean, only an idiot would say that. But, I mean, I do think occasionally he has moments defensively where he's adequate and he does provide something at the power forward position. No doubt his off-ball defense is horrific. But there's other guys on the team that are guilty of that too. But, you know, scoring is at a premium in this league. And you need to have it, especially on this team right now with so many of our scorers out. Like, how many points does he need to be scoring to say, hey, this guy is contributing as opposed to being a negative?
If you, oddly, his best position on this team is probably the role that Bobby Portis has and wants, which was one of my concerns with the signing initially. That's his best role, just a burst scorer off the bench that is preferably separated from LaVine and Lowry. He's not going to make LaVine and Lowry better once they can play together. I understand your logic in Jabari being on the floor with LaVine on the offensive end. Does create more attention, and there's no denying that you have to respect Jabari Parker, but combining them on the defense end, usually you resort in giving up more points than you're scoring with them. So, unfortunately for Jabari and the Bulls, which I'm not sure wasn't planned, but his best role is burst scorer off the bench, six man, and whether that's from the four or five spot is to be determined.
Yeah, I mean, clearly doesn't have a spot with the team going forward, because when Lowry comes back, I don't care if it's Portis or wherever, he better be inserted at that four position so we can start getting the seamless cohesion I envision between Carter Jr. and Markkanen. And then we'll figure out the three. Are you in agreement with me, or do you disagree that when Valentine comes back, I want to see him get an opportunity to start at the three? What say you?
I would not be against giving him the opportunity. I think you do have to do your due diligence. He does have seniority over Hutch. I don't think the difference defensively between him and Holiday is that great. I think Holiday's getting a lot of time right now, because right now is the opportunity to showcase what he can actually do to other NBA teams. And then once we get healthy, the Bulls will probably give him similar treatment to Rolo. Just so happens Holiday's skill sets are valuable in this league. When he's hitting shots, he's a valuable player. Rolo, outside of defense, is kind of just a dinosaur. So I would not be opposed to starting Valentine for the opportunity. I wouldn't be fully committed to it long term, though.
Yeah, all I meant was Denzel and Hutchinson need to move ahead of Holiday when Denzel comes back. And I don't think that's going to happen. I suspect it won't happen. I'm a little concerned it won't. The Bulls are, before the game against the Knicks, they were 29th in offensive rebounding. They were 20th in defensive rebounding. And that's something that was a strength. Defensive rebound was a strength of the team last year. And this just can't continue. I suspect.
And offensive rebounding, we led the league with Rolo and Taj.
I did not know Taj.
And even Rolo maintained that for a while after Taj went, because I thought we were going to fall off big time there.
Oh, 2 years ago? On the 16-17?
Yeah, right before we traded Taj. When we traded him, we were leading the league in offensive rebounds with Taj and Rolo.
Yeah, it makes sense with all the perimeter defense or all the help defense that had to come due to Butler and, you know, Wade to a certain degree also on that team. That's interesting. So, you know, we've just fallen off the cliff with that. I suspect a lot of it has to do with Holiday, who's, I think, 390 minutes. Is second on the team, only 2 minutes less than Levine. And he's, they could put it, just give me an idea. I know it's different positions, but last night against the Knicks, Wendell Carter Jr. had 6 offensive rebounds. In 390 minutes so far this season, Holiday has a total of 3 offensive rebounds. 3. Half as many as Wendell Carter Jr. And Hutch has 6 in considerably less minutes. So there's no doubt about it. He's not even in the same league as a rebounder as Valentine, and also Valentine's a very underrated rebounder, and also as Hutch. So I want those two guys to play considerably more, and I have major concerns that Fred will still be playing Holiday major minutes when those two return.
I think your concerns are warranted until the trade deadline. I think Fred probably has orders from upstairs. Keep playing Holiday. The more games he has with 5 3-pointers, the more chance they're going to be able to get anything for him by the deadline.
Yeah, that's the thing, though.
I mean, the unfortunate reality.
He's not going to have a lot of those games. He's going to have more games like the 2-10 that he had against the Knicks, and there's no
way. And I agree with you, Fred.
Yeah,
it's we both know he's a 1-4, 1-5.
Do you think somebody's
4 gonna games, 1 in every 5 games, they'll show up?
Do you think
why not?
Yeah, I would do it, Pelicans? But I'm saying I don't even think a team would be willing to give up a second for him. Do you really think that's possible, that we can turn him into a second round?
I think it's possible.
I hope so.
There's injuries that happen. Teams need shooting. He can shoot. Sometimes he shoots way too damn much, but
yeah,
he can shoot. And by your favorite chart that people showed you today, his defense, he's actually doing rather well this season. So from that standpoint, I think you do try to keep showcasing him, because if he's sitting as your 14th guy on the bench, you're not going to get anything for him, and I think they'd rather get something than nothing.
Oh, maybe you're right. I hope you're right. That would be great to see him go trade deadline, just to free up some space for Valentine and Hutch. Hey, to wrap this baby up, I'd like to get your final some thoughts here on the last I'm going to name 3 teams, and I want you to tell me, out of these 3, which one are you most surprised to see the situation that they're in? That's the Lakers at 4-6. I think the last time I looked, that was their record. Let me confirm that right now. Lakers are 4-6. That's correct. The Cavs are 1-9, and the Wizards are 2-7. Out of those 3 teams, which one surprises you the most with their current state?
even though we said preseason that we thought that the Wizards had the highest chance to implode, their current situation surprises me the most. LeBron walking into that situation after watching him not play defense at all last year with the players that they signed, I wasn't convinced they were a playoff team. Cavs, they lost LeBron. They had a puppet head coach that LeBron wanted, and they got all LeBron's overpaid role players left on the roster.
Yeah,
so that was going to be a disaster.
Well, Colin Sexton is really disappointed. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, there's articles out there now about how he's not even listening to vets, and he really seemed to turn off a lot
of
guys.
Would you listen to J.R. Smith and Tristan Thompson?
Maybe not J.R. Smith, but there's some other guys in the team I potentially listen to. It sounds like
Kevin Love is probably the only veteran that's left there that I would be heeding any advice from. So if I hear from Kevin Love's mouth that he thinks Colin Sexton is a trash bag doing, then I'll believe it. But if it's JR and Tristan, I'm going to leave it alone.
So it sounds like you weren't surprised by the Cavs just being terrible. And I agree with you. I wasn't either. But, like, as far as you're going to say the Wizards being in this situation, so you expected the Lakers to be this bad? I mean, I think there's serious concerns.
Yeah, Fred, if you watched LeBron James play defense and then you looked at the free agents that they signed to one-year contracts, they added a whole bunch of ball-dominant players who can't shoot. That is not the go-to win guide with LeBron James, and he just doesn't care on defense anymore. He's looking to further ventures in his life. He's given up on chasing Michael Jordan. He's going to go make movies that...
Yeah.
He's Michael Jordan now.
So Otto Porter, last question before we wrap this up. Otto Porter Jr., I suggested looking at the Wizards and making a trade for Otto Porter Jr., who I think would be a fantastic three. Now I think he's got three more years on a disastrous contract, making like $25-26 million a year. So you know it's going to take. I'm sorry.
Brooklyn pretty much did
screwed him. Yep.
Wizards, what the Kings were trying to do with us with the. I wouldn't that contract. I feel like you're trying to win your bet with MK Hoops here a little too much. There's no need to rush our situation. Play the best players. Be competitive. Don't sit anybody. Don't give the hint of actually trying to lose and just let the cards fall where they will for the season.
What about the Lopez Felicio option, which is, all right, from Wizards' benefit, the team sucks with all these guys under contract, and you'd be able to get Lopez in there. His contract goes off, so you'd free up cap space. You know, Felicio, obviously, a couple more years, but at a much lower dollar amount. You don't think that option... When you look at it, obviously, then, well, you're not really paying Porter 26 when you subtract him the 8 from Fleet.
And I see your angle, but even from that standpoint for the Bulls, they've prided themselves on having this flexibility going forward. I think they intend on being able to take a shot at 8D at least in free agency, and they want to have that room. I think Porter puts a damper on that, and Felicio's playing serviceable, so next year he'll only be owed $16 million in 2 years. You can probably with a second, which everybody's going to freak out about. But you know he's getting to the point where he's at least serviceable, and his contract isn't nearly as bad as it initially was, and you can get rid of him for cheap without really investing into somebody else for too long.
Yeah, I concur, man. Regardless, next summer is going to be exciting because you just I don't if I'm Durant or if I'm even Klay Thompson, if the Bulls really finish strong and you see what we have going at the 4 and the 5 and the 1 and the 2, we just need a 3 to drop in there and we're ready to rock and roll. We're cooking with gas, so it's exciting times for the beloved Bull, and anyone who doesn't realize the potential for this team is pretty much can pound sand because there's very good things ahead. Either regardless with Hutch, either being one of the premier backup threes in the league or as a starter, regardless of what happens in free agency, I think this team's going to be a contender very soon.
And I agree there. I think they're definitely on the right path. I'm not quite as far down the road as you at this point in time. Maybe the Bulls will go on another 7-8 game win streak in this year and turn me around to the Red side. But we'll see. But I'm content with where we are.
Sounds good, brother. As always, it's great to have you on, my man. You have a great evening, and we're looking forward to talking again next week.
Sounds good. Take it easy, boss.
Talk to you later, brother. Bye-bye.